So this workshop is oriented around, essentially from our perspective, helping you make money sooner. But the point of it is, what are the things that you need to know, not from the business side? In other words, this isn't about doing cold calls and setting up emails and things like that. But on the technique side, on the acting side, how are people in the industry going to look at you? How can you look more like other professionals? What kind of skills do they have that you want to have? So obviously, to a certain degree, that's the whole purpose of Essentials, but we're going to focus on a few things here. This changes a little bit every year based on what's happening in the industry. One of the things that I would say that is, I guess I'll just say good news, but basically, in order to look good in a studio, you're live, there's producers there, and you're working with a group of people, where do you get the skills so that you look like a real professional in that situation? And what the heck are the things that would make you look like a real professional? Well, one of the things we determined, first of all, is, you know, what's the most impressive thing you can learn? What's the most second most impressive? What kind of skills do other people have? What kind of personality? Stuff like that. So I'm just going to try to give you a little bit of a picture of that. But the good news, so to speak, is that when you work from a home studio doing longer text, such as narrative stuff or audiobooks, one of the skills that you gain is picking up when you stumble, make a mistake, want to make a change. One of the hardest things for people who haven't worked from home, but who have done high-paying stuff live in a studio, is how do you pick up when you make a mistake and sound relaxed and sound professional and make it easy? It's actually very difficult. I know people who have worked, done hundreds of jobs over decades from a studio, but have never worked from home. And they still don't pick up their mistakes in, let's say, the most professional manner. When you work from home on long texts, you just get in the habit. Every time you stumble, you make a change. Okay, here we go. You click something in your software. We've got a video on that we're going to send you so you can learn the easy way to pick up from home. The difference is, in a studio, you're working, people are watching you. You don't want to make a mistake, but you know it's common. There's no problem making a mistake. Everybody expects they're going to happen. They just expect you to pause, go back a little bit, and continue. But you didn't want to do it. And here's the kicker. Of course, you didn't know you were going to make a mistake. So brain scans show in a situation like that, it's very similar to hearing somebody set off a firecracker. You know, it's a little tension-inducing when you make a mistake that you didn't want to make. You didn't, you know. Does that make sense? Why it's really hard to kind of subtract some anxiety when you stumble. You've all experienced that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've tried a number of ways to help people be calm and seem professional when they do that. And we've got some good techniques, but they involve practice, and most people don't practice them. Well, in reality, if you just sit at home and start reading the news into your headset mic on your computer or your home studio or whatever you want, and every time you stumble or you decide you want to make a change, you just do it on the screen, you actually program yourself psychologically. But more than that, what we call your HPA axis, your hypothalamus pituitary adrenal, the hypothalamus is kind of the part of your brain that determines if you're stressed or not. And then it tells the rest of the body, you know, what to do. So if a lion is chasing you and you want your body to pump out adrenaline so you can run a little faster, the hypothalamus kind of takes charge and says, hey, let's pump out some more cortisol and et cetera, et cetera. So it's very hard to fool yourself into being calm, but you can actually practice being calm. So I talked a bunch about that, but I'm going to separate that a little bit from this workshop because I'm going to send you a video on how to practice on your own picking up. A thing that would be handy here is if you can go to those same links that you had before where you were looking at the scripts. Don't hurry about that, but I'm going to actually reference one of those scripts. So if you want to pull that up on screen while we move forward. So I'm going to talk about something else, but if you can go to that site, go to that page and get ready to look at some of the scripts. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody able to look at those scripts?
Yes.
Okay, great.
These are the ones that we were dealing with earlier today, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely correct. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit. I think Dave brought up a point earlier, and I'm going to reference that a little bit. How do you know that you're getting the results out of yourself as an actor? If you're trying to achieve some kind of a technique goal, Dave was talking about newscaster cadence, impersonating commercials you like, if I remember. Where does that fit in, and how do you know that you're doing what you want to do? We focus on acting technique, acting process, excuse me, not technique, an acting process. Here's the frame of reference. Here's kind of how to think about doing voiceover to a certain degree. You need to have some technique. You need to understand some things about breathing and periods and commas and session skills like picking up. But you need to realize the technique, and this is kind of a duh. You guys already kind of get this. Technique supports acting. It doesn't replace it. So what you want to be able to do is relax, de-stress, be, you know, loose, be ready to have fun, be calm. And then you're going to be a better actor. And then use that looseness that you have to perform. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what an acting process is. Some of you have heard this before at an expo. People say, well, how do I become an actor? How do I become a voice actor? You know, what's the first step? If I've got a performance, well, warm up, right? So that's kind of a duh. What's the second step? Well, look at the script, okay? So obviously, I'm boiling this down, explaining this to you in a very simple way. I'm going to explain a little more about it. What's the third step? Well, when you read the script, sound like a real person talking to another real person. So a more advanced way of looking at these three steps is to realize that there's four people in every scene as an actor. The first one is you, the actor. That's you, the actual person. And a lot of times to get a better performance out of yourself, you have to follow what method acting calls the foundation of all acting. The phrase that they use, the foundation of all acting, is to identify and release tension. In other words, tension builds up. Things happen. You get interrupted. You think of things. You notice things. Other people notice things. You've been standing for a while. You have to learn to reset a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about that. So what you do for the actor is often to be a little looser and release a little tension. So you can't just kind of go, deep breath, okay, now I am calm. Okay, deep breath, now I am calm, right? That doesn't really release tension. If you've done a lot of meditation practice, it's something you can certainly use. An easier way to release tension, right? Jump up and down a little bit and go, ha-ha, ha-ha, you know. Jump up and down, shake your hands, you know, shake your lips, make some sounds, real straightforward. So the first person that we say is in every scene is the actor. And the first step in any acting process, which we simply call the warm-up, is to loosen up the actor. So I'll give you some techniques for that. This is all very straightforward, but when you're trying to solve the problem, I'm going to rephrase or paraphrase what Dave said. You know, how do you know you're doing the good acting that you're trying to? How can you identify, are you achieving your goal, and what can you do about it? The first thing we always say is work on the actor. Whether you're in the warm-up stage, whether you're in the stage of looking at the script, whether you're actually producing this, you have to realize, what should I do for the actor here? And when you're newer at this, obviously getting a little looser, getting a little more comfortable is helpful. Okay, the second person in every scene is the character. Now, in modern voiceover and a lot of modern acting, you're going to play somebody, you know, who doesn't have your name. You know, the character's name, maybe Sue Smith, you know, or John Williams or whatever, and that's who you're playing. But we want to be able to tell who you are actually while you are the character in a certain situation. So oversimplified, if you're going to be playing a vacation person on vacation talking about how wonderful it is being on vacation, we would like to get some idea about you, the real person, how you would feel in this situation, how you might talk. And again, I'm keeping this very straightforward and simple, so this shouldn't be confusing for anyone. We say the second step of the acting process, look at the script, is the character step. Now, another way to think about it is this is where you try to understand what the writer is getting at. You know, maybe what you're saying isn't entirely true. Maybe you're being sarcastic. Now, if you read the script a couple times, most of the time, 90% of us, right, we would notice the sarcasm. We would notice, oh, you know, you're not really saying, yeah, I really feel great about my body. I'm not worried about having to start a diet, right, or something like that. So that would be an example of understanding what's going on. Maybe there's some sarcasm at a certain point. Of course, one of the simple ways to do this is to take a script. So if you're looking at the page where you can click a link, let's look at the performance scripts. The first one is OSI. So if you're able to look at OSI, raise your hand, say something. I'm just going to get a confirmation from each of you that you're looking at the performance scripts in the first one.
Got it up.
Jade threw me a thumbs up. She's an advanced Zoom user.
Yes.
Okay. So what I like to do when I've got a script is I like to have a dark colored highlighter, like an orange or a pink or something like that. It really doesn't matter how you do this, but I'll tell you why I prefer that. And I like simply to make a dot just above the words wherever I notice a transition. Now, the first thing you want to do on a shorter script, this is not a short script, is to find two or three main transitions. So let's say I found two transitions. I put a little dot where I think, oh, something changes a little bit. What came before is a little bit different than what comes next. Well, if I found two transitions, everything before the first transition, we could call the beginning, right? And everything after the last transition, we could call the ending. And between the two transitions, that's the middle. So it's a real simple way to realize the transitions kind of divide a script up into sections. Now, you already knew that, right? This isn't rocket science, and I'm pretty good at trying to give you a simple understanding of this. So one of the things you can do when you grab a new script is find those transitions. Now, if we're at that character stage in the acting process, looking at the script, trying to understand, you know, what the writer's trying to get across, what's our point here? How do we feel about things? Which may lead into what kind of body language do you use? What kind of imagery might you tap into? How might you approach this? The transitions are really key to figuring out how you're going to do this, because something's got to shift at the transition. Classic transition, right? Problem to solution. I say something like, you know, we see a script that has something like, and not all the children survived. But today, thanks to your donations, so you don't have to necessarily decide what the right word label is for what happens before and after. But I would say certainly some kind of problem to solution. It might be unhappy or depressing or stressed or concerned or something like that. And then it might change to relief or gratitude or calm. Right? Very straightforward. You've got to kind of look at the transitions, make a decision. So one of the ways I'd answer your question, Dave, about, you know, am I figuring out the right goal for my acting? And this is obviously a multi-part thing. And am I achieving that? Is, do you feel at the transitions you are making a shift? And do you feel comfortable making that shift? If you're not sure what's supposed to happen at a transition, a lot of the times I say, go with your first instinct. If you're wrong, 90% of the time, the second idea you have is right. This isn't rocket science. This isn't Shakespeare analysis. Your first or second idea of how a transition should be, if you've made the effort to notice it and think about it, is going to be 95% of the time you got the idea. I'm giving you kind of an outline here. I'm digging a little deeper at the moment. I'm going to you know, come back out to the main view. So we say the actor is part of the scene, and you do things for yourself, the actor, in the warm-up, and sometimes you may feel your performance is having an issue, and you may just go, oh, I'm a little tense. I need to relax a little bit. I need to loose. I need to shake my hands more. The second person in every scene is the character, and this is the writer. This is understanding where is it happy, where is it sad, where the transitions are. And you do that before you get on mic in terms of, you know, one, two, three. We say if you're going to a live session, the warm-up, that's your car warm-up. That's something you do in the car, not while you're driving, not singing while you drive, although that doesn't hurt. It's something that you do while you're stopped. We give you some things to try, some process to follow. But I'm going to jump ahead. Who's the third person in every scene of the four people in every scene? Well, that's the listener. That's who you're talking to. And in theory, if you've worked your process pretty well, if you've figured out how at each step to get the most out of yourself, at the third step, actually performing, you're putting more attention than at any other step on feeling like a real person talking to a real person. So some of you may be wondering, well, who's this fourth person? Seems like we covered everybody. The fourth person is the producer. The producer may be an engineer. It may be the person who wrote the script from the ad agency. Or if you're working from home, the producer may be you. So one of the reasons we look at this acting process is, if the producer has an idea, let's try this, let's try that. How do you achieve that? How do you get that spec? Maybe it says on the spec, we're looking for this kind of a result. How do you do those things? You need to self-produce. You need to ask yourself, to get what I'm trying to get out of this, to get what the producer is asking me for, whether it's your idea or whether it's something somebody is telling you, do I need to look at the script more closely? Do I need to understand the transition better? Do I need to get a better sense of, oh, I'm not really pulling off a sense of calm here, or I'm not really pulling off a sense of concern here, etc.? Or do you need to look at yourself as an actor? You seem to know what you're trying to do. In other words, maybe you got that character, that script analysis step, that second part of the process down, but you're not able to do it, you know? It's not quite working. Maybe you need to do something for yourself. You need to do a little mental reset. You need to get a sip of water. Or maybe you've got the idea, you're pulling it off, you feel comfortable, but you're starting to turn it into a lecture, right? Or an announcement, or maybe a little bit of a sales pitch, or a little bit of an argument. And you need to back up and make it sound more like a conversation. Okay, so I've thrown a lot at you, but and there's more detail, and I'm going to provide that actually to you in an article to read. But are there any questions about that so far? So there's three steps to the acting process: the warm-up, looking at the script, and I simplify that to say noticing the transitions and figuring out what's going on, and then trying to be a real person talking to a real person when you get on mic. Anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts they want to share about that before we move on?
You said warm up, look over script, and what else?
Talk to a real person. Yeah, so we say do something for the actor, warm up. Do something for the character. Notice the story you're going to tell, where the transitions are. And you got that in week one. And learn, and then focus on the listener. Who are you talking to, being real yourself? Anybody else? Any comments or questions about that? Again, we're going to give you a follow-up article.
I don't really have anything right now.
Okay. So I'm going to talk a little bit about technique here. Sometimes we call this brand names. So if you're all looking at that OSI script, Open Systems International, or OSI, is a leading supplier of automation and control system. That's the first line. What I'm going to do is I'm going to slow down on the two longest words. I'm going to slow down on international, and I'm going to slow down on automation. Real straightforward, but I'm going to do it in kind of a vocal warm-up kind of a style, so I'm not actually going to sound like I'm doing good acting. I'm going to give you sort of an example of a good of how this is supposed to be. What I'm doing is I'm changing my cadence. What I'm going to be doing is changing my speed. We're going to talk about that in a second. So changing your speed as an exercise kind of sounds like this. Da 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 da. Make sense? Question or comment about that?
I'm having difficulties hearing you. It's like you're going in and out.
I'm going in and out. Okay, let me check my mic here. Is anybody else having trouble hearing me, and am I going in and out?
It seems fine on my end.
Good, Dave. Is your speaker very loud or very quiet today? I mean, could you just turn it up louder?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. The mic was pretty good, so I don't think it was my mic. I'll try to, keep it close. I'm going to check it from time to time. How are we doing now? Is this acceptable?
Yeah, it's probably just my Wi-Fi connection.
Okay, well, do interrupt and make me repeat stuff from time to time. I don't want you to miss anything.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to check this here. Okay, so I'm going to read that first row of text, that first line, in that kind of da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da style. Okay, so here we go. Open Systems International is a leading supplier of automation and control system. Now, one of the ways that helps me slow down is to calm down, and my voice tends to relax. So you may have noticed that my pitch went down when I slowed down. That's not required. There's a lot of ways to do this. But I want you each to copy something that I'm going to do. And you can't see me on mic. So what I want you to do is I want you to put your hands together, and I want you to put all your fingertips together like you're holding, oh, let's just say, a little piece of candy. You're holding it between your fingers. I think of this as sort of how a raccoon holds something. So I've got all my fingertips touching, and my fingers are all together. So, you know, your fingers aren't all spread out. They're all kind of clumped together. So you're kind of holding a little something between all your fingers. Now, I want you to imagine it like it's a piece of taffy or a piece of gum or something that you can stretch. So when you first try to pull your fingers apart, it doesn't work real well, right, because it's tight. It's a little hard to pull. And then as you pull your hands apart a little bit, it gets easier. So I kind of go, right? And I put my hands together again, and it's like hard to pull. Then it gets easier, kind of, and I'm just using my voice to kind of demonstrate what it's like. So try that with your hands. Everybody, let me know when you've tried that two or three times. You can make a sound or not. Hard to pull, and then it gets easier and your hands get wide apart. And you put your hands together again. Let me know when you've tried that a couple of times. Still with us, John? All right, good.
Yep.
Now I'm going to do that technique as I slow down on these words. All right? So first I'm going to do it the way I tend to do it, by calming down my voice. And then the second time I'm going to do it with the body language and listen to what the difference might be. Open Systems International is a leading supplier of automation and control system. And I skipped over OSI at that point. Didn't do a great job. Okay, now listen to what it sounds like when I pull my hands apart. First a little hard, and then it gets easier. Open Systems International, OSI, is a leading supplier of automation and control system. You hear how that's a little different? You can kind of hear me stressing and pulling my hands apart a little bit. I want everybody to try that. Now, you may have to get used to the body language. You're going to have to put your hands together. For international, you're going to pull them apart, and then you're going to have to put them together again when you say automation. So just read that first row of text and try slowing down on the word international and the word automation by using body language. Go ahead and try that and let me know when you're done. Do it two, three times. And you may find that there's some tricks to it. One of the things you can't do is just pause. You can't go silent before and after the word to make it easier to stretch it. You've got to keep talking. You can't go open systems. International, the words have to continue blending and flowing into one another. How'd that work for everybody?
Kind of interesting.
Anybody else? The reason we've tried a whole lot of techniques, and there are a variety of techniques around cadence changes. This is the overall winner from, you know, the last 3 years of testing. Everybody can do this. So why does this matter? Well, the real key reason it matters and helps you look like a pro is that the default change when you say a brand name is to linger, is to slow down a little bit. And this is a skill like a muscle skill. This is a little bit like going to the gym and working out. It's a vocal technique skill more than it is an acting skill, but you can practice this. And I want all of you to practice this, a way to do that is to grab any old script and highlight a word here and a word there. And when you come to that word, use the stretch body language. I'll give an example of that. I'm just going to read the beginning of the script, and on sort of random words, I'm going to stretch. Open Systems International, or OSI, is a leading supplier of automation and control system software for various electric. You hear how that works? That's homework for you guys. There's two ways the linger is used. One is for love, right? When we dramatically shift to love in our speech, we tend to linger a lot. You know, I might say something like, oh my God, let me tell you who I love the most. It is Sarah, right? I made that pretty dramatic, right? I tumbled forward with my speech, and then I really lingered with love on that word. Now, probably if I wanted to really pull off something with that much love in my acting technique, I might close my eyes because that helps that relaxation feeling take place. The second way you use a linger is essentially what we call for contrast. You need to have a bit of an attitude to pull contrast off. It's not just an informational technique where you shift your vocal qualities and we understand that this word has a different point than something else. It's an emotional acting quality as well. The acting quality for conviction, for authority, for, hey, this is a big deal. The technique for that, the acting technique, not the vocal technique, and we're going to putting together acting technique and vocal technique because the vocal technique is to linger, is to think of a person who doesn't understand that they're making a mistake or that this would be a bad time to make a mistake or that we're talking about something important. And if you don't understand that it's important, somebody could be hurt. So somebody in an important situation isn't getting it right. Now, I'm going to show you how emotional the linger can be. I'm just going to say, Mary had a little lamb. But I'm going to imagine that you don't understand that it's Mary that has it and that you're dumb. And that irritates me because we have to make sure that we know that it's Mary. So I'm going to say some words after I say that very simple line so you can hear how much emotion there is. Okay, look, Mary had a little lamb, you idiot, right? And when you hear me say, you idiot, at the end, you can tell, oh my gosh, actually this person feels very strongly that we get it right, that Mary is the person who has a little lamb. So I'll say that sentence a little differently. I'll do a read in. I'll give you some information up front. Oh, come on. No, it's not John. Look, Mary had a little lamb, you idiot. So do you hear how that slowdown, me lingering on Mary, can be a way of saying, wow, we got to get this right? Any questions or comment about that? I'm going to give you some examples with some brand names in just a second. And if anybody has a question that you just realized, oh, I wanted to ask this question, I'm just kind of pausing for that. All good? Interrupt if you need to. So let's say I said the phrase GM, General Motors, and I like brands that are initialisms, GM, AT&T, for demonstration purposes. GM makes great cars. If I was going to linger to show contrast, the next sentence might be something like this. GM makes great cars, not Ford, and not anybody else. You hear how I made it sound like GM is the company that we need to have. It's the place we need to go to. It's the thing we should think of. This should be our first choice because, wow, you don't want to get something wrong. Now I'm going to do a love linger on GM. Because my emotion is now love in the short phrase, GM makes great cars, there's another word that can convey love, right? And it's great. So if I were feeling that love, I would probably put some kind of a highlight on great as well. Hey, GM makes great cars. You hear how that's got that linger for love? I'll do them both again. GM makes great cars, you idiot. GM makes great cars. Do you hear how the linger is used in those two ways? Any question or comment about that? I'd like to hear each of you say, Mary had a little lamb, you idiot. And I want you to be mean to me. I want you to make me the idiot. So remember, it's disgust. It's sarcasm. It's Mary had a little lamb, you idiot. But you can't shout. can't cheat by using energy and getting really loud. So you can say dumbass if you like. Who'd like to go first? You're just going to say Mary had a little lamb, you idiot, or you dumbass. It's kind of fun.
Oh, I guess I can go for it.
Thank you, John.
Mary had a little lamb, you idiot.
Nice. Do it again. And now say, no, no. You know, one, two, three times, just the word no, okay. However it feels like, oh, God, who is this person? What is wrong with it? No, no. Whatever you want to do, a couple of no's, then the same thing you just did.
No, no, no. Mary had a little lamb, you idiot.
Good. Perfect. And I don't know if you can hear Sarah's laughing in the background.
Yeah, that's a typical reaction to anybody seeing me. So
we did a read in and a read out. We used some acting technique here. If the text was Mary had a little lamb, we added some words before to make it easier. Who'd like to go next? Thanks, John.
I'll go.
Okay, Jade, have some fun. Be mean to me. I'm an idiot.
Mary had a little lamb, you idiot.
So one of the things we found by adding the words you idiot is to kind of go back to Dave's question, how can I tell him I'm doing a good job? And again, I'm oversimplifying your question, is if we pick a readout, if we pick some words that I kind of say, bring the subtext into the text, if what you were thinking in your mind was you idiot, while you were saying Mary had a little lamb, we could say your subtext is the words you idiot and the text is the words Mary had a little lamb. So by adding those actual words, you know, that you were thinking, you get to say what you were thinking. That should be easy. That should be where your acting is the best. And I did feel like when you said, you idiot, your acting was the best. But I didn't feel it was as strong on Mary. So what I'm going to have you do today is say, you idiot.
We lost first. Your audio there.
I lost my audio. You.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it
yeah,
we, on?
It seems you're good now.
I'm back. Okay, it's giving me a message on the screen. It said, you are unstable and should not be talking to people. No, it said your internet connection was unstable for a moment. So I did get a pop-up on my screen. So it's gone. So Jade, you're going to say, oh, you idiot, first, and then say, Mary had a little lamb. Okay, same thing, just a little switch.
Wait, Tim, what am I supposed to say one more time?
You're going to say, you idiot, first. And you can maybe have a big sigh, oh, geez, you idiot, and then say, Mary had a little lamb. Go again.
Oh, you idiot. Mary had a little lamb.
Now, one of the things you did there was you highlighted lamb and you highlighted Mary, and you actually gave more a highlight to lamb. So you changed the meaning to I'm an idiot because I thought Mary had a little dog or something, right? So I'd go, no, it's not a dog. Mary had a little lamb, right? So when you highlight a word, you have to leave the other words around it alone, generally speaking. A famous sentence is, I didn't say that she stole my money. Whichever word I highlight, and I can highlight them in different ways, it changes the meaning. So I can go, I didn't say that she stole my money. I didn't say that she stole my money. I didn't say that she stole my money. I didn't say that she stole. You're right. You hear it? It changes the meaning. So I knew somebody would probably do this. I was waiting for an example, or I would have to give one. So you kind of got to let the other words just kind of leave them alone, clump them together, like had a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. So go again, Jade. That was good. The Mary was good. The read-in was good. But you got so angry with me, you started getting angry on other words as well. One more time.
You idiot. Mary had a little lamb.
So all the words come together. You got to slow down on Mary and kind of beat me over the head with Mary. So stretch, you know, put your hands together. Mary had a little lamb. One more time. Last time.
You idiot. Mary had a little lamb.
Perfect. Nice. I would clap, but it would probably be annoying. Okay, Dave, give it a shot yourself. You got the idea. Let's have the idiot part at the end so you don't say anything before unless you can kind of go, oh.
All right. No. Mary had a little lamb, you idiot.
So you lingered on had, so let's shift it to be a linger on Mary.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's normal. Anytime. Just do it again.
Mary had a little lamb, you idiot.
Idiot. That's perfect. I feel bad. I'm going to quit now. Good work. Good acting. Well done. So if you're working from home, one of the things you can do is you could take key phrases, key transitions, and you can record them separately. And you can put a read in, you can put a read out, you can do some things to make it simpler. If I had to say, Mary had a little lamb in a script, and it wasn't working very well, I might do something, get my hands ready, right, to pull. And I might go, oh, Mary had a little lamb, you idiot. And I might play an acting game, right? Okay, so the linger, by highlighting words in a script and just practicing that body language I call pulling taffy, you can practice just going da-da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You want to, for every script you read out loud for the rest of your life, pick the words that need a linger or by default are the brand or the product or the company and linger on them. Use that body language. Despite everything else you might be doing, you need to have that muscle to be able to slow down, to change the tempo. Now, you may do a combination of love and contrast. So I'll do first love, then contrast, then a combination on the GM line. Love, then contrast, then combination. GM makes great cars. GM makes great cars. GM makes great cars. You don't have to figure out exactly what it is. You can try some things, decide which ones you like. If you have a live producer, they can decide. Make sense? You'll find that you're probably going to lean one way or the other. You're going to be a little better at love. You're going to be a little better at contrast. That's part of your personality. That's part of your flavor. That's okay. That's part of why you get hired instead of somebody else. You sound more believable when you do the one that's easier for you. The next thing I want to talk about is a vocal technique again. It's called the hit. It means to pitch up on a stressed syllable. Now, that may sound complicated, but if you speak a language, you naturally, in most cases, put the stress where it belongs. We can go look up online and learn about how to read stress marks, but all of us tend to say Canada. Most of us wouldn't say Canada, right? You hear how duh suddenly got distressed, and nobody would say Canada, right? Because na is de-stressed. You've got to leave it alone. And in a word where a syllable is not stressed, sometimes you can almost just blow past it. I can't say Canada, but I can put a little tiny na in between and it sounds right. Canada. You can still tell I'm trying to say Canada. So I just wanted to give an example of how a de-stressed syllable is sometimes left alone. In the word cam-ra, camera, you can just say the two words, cam-ra, the two syllables, I should say. That's an acceptable alternate pronunciation or stress if you look that up, cam-ra. But I want you to try, Sarah's asking me something. I want you to try saying cam and then ra separately. So there's a pause, a silence in between. And then try putting them together and there's no silence in between them. So it's cam, ra, and then try to say camera. So try that a few times. One of the things you're probably noticing is when you change your lips from the M position to the R for the ra, there's a sound that tends to creep in, camera. And I made it obvious. I put a little between the cam and the ra. Camera, camera, camera. You hear that little sound in between? That's the schwa. That's that little sound that's all over in English speech. That's the de-stressed syllable. So another example of leaving the stress alone. Okay, so where do we use a hit? Typically, you'll find this a lot in a technical script. So if you're looking at the information OSI, we want to look for word pairs. We want to look for two words where the first word tells us something about the second word. There's a bunch of grammatical situations where this can happen, so I'm not going to specify. It's always this kind of grammar and force you to learn some grammar. So look at that first line. The first word pair I see is leading supplier. The second one just on that first line would be control systems. If I start reading along, sometimes we have two or three or four words in a row and you can't necessarily figure out which one should get the highlight. I'll demonstrate the highlight here. I'm going to be boring and flat everywhere except when I do a highlight. The first highlight will be on the word leading. I'm going to do a hit on leading. The second one will be on control. The third one will be on utility. So I'll do it twice so you can hear it. Open Systems International is a leading supplier of automation and control system software for various electric utility companies. I'm making it very obvious. You hear how I'm pitching up? I'm going to do it again. I'm going to make it a little less obvious. Open Systems International is a leading supplier of automation and control system software for various electric utility companies. You all hear that little pitch up? You don't want to turn that into a linger. That's by way of saying, hey, this is a big deal. The hit is informational, so I'm going to do it a little closer to how it happens. Notice that I'm going to be a little sharper, a little faster. I'm going to do a little kind of a little punch on those words. It's very light. Open Systems International is a leading supplier of automation and control system software for various electric utility companies worldwide. The hit is a little way of saying, here's what you needed to know. So I'm going to have you practice this on the phrase, the two word pair, the two words in a pair, leading supplier. So I want you to say, no, not a follower, a leading supplier. So you're going to say, no, not a follower, a leading supplier. And you can't go, leading supplier. You can't linger. No, not a follower, a leading supplier. So I want you to hit, pitch up, stress on the word follower, and hit, pitch up, stress the word leading. So here's how it goes. No, not a follower, a leading supplier. No, not a follower, a leading supplier. So I'll try that. You're all going to say, no, not a follower, hit follower, and then say leading supplier. Start trying that, and let me know when you've given that an effort. This is a little harder than the linger, surprisingly. So give me some kind of indication that you've tried that a few times, or ask me a question about that. Everybody good?
Yes.
So you've learned the hit and the linger. If you've got a lot of information to share, sometimes you have to rely on the client to let you know. I'll just do some improv here. We have the double-handed green hexagonal wooden two-sided backhanded. Okay, right? I've got all these words. I may have to hit a bunch of them, or I may only hit the ones that differentiate us from the competition. So we have the double-handed green two-sided wood backhanded boxed. Right? You hear how I'm hitting the words that mean something. There's a generic rule in voiceover that is terrible. If you try to follow this rule too closely, it'll kind of ruin your acting, but I'm going to tell you what it is anyway. The rule is pick a word in the first half of a sentence and hit it. And that's how we know what the sentence is about. So if I look at the second paragraph on the OSI script, where it says, for nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront of electric utility operation. There's a lot going on there. I'm going to just say the sentence ends on forefront. The first half is up to forefront. I'm being pretty random. You could look at it any way you want. So what are some of the words that might carry some meaning in for nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront? Which one of those words might we want to make a bigger deal out of? Anybody? And there's a few. There's no wrong answer. What are some thoughts?
OSI.
Absolutely. What else? Anything?
Either forefront or possibly the pairing two decades.
Sure. They're making a big deal out of for nearly two. So two, or for nearly, or forefront, or OSI, or technology. So if I were to hit one of those, I'll pick a word. Anybody say which word should be hit? Just pick one and I'll do it. First one I hear.
Two.
For nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront. And I actually hit forefront a little bit there. If I were to just hit forefront, for nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront. I'll hit technology. For nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront. For nearly two decades, OSI technology has. Right. So you make some sense out of it. I would suggest lingering on OSI and hitting two and forefront. So I'd go, for nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront. You hear how I did that? And I put my hands together and I stretched them on OSI. So I'd like everybody to try that. You're going to put a little pitch, little punch on two and on four, on the word four and forefront. And you're going to linger, you're going to stretch with your hands, OSI. So we're going to end on forefront. Everybody try that, and then I'm going to have you demonstrate. So you're going to hit two and the four in forefront, and you're going to linger, stretch, OSI. Do that a few times. And then I think I'm going to bug you, John, to give the first example when you're ready. Ready to give it a shot, John?
Sure.
Anytime.
For nearly two decades, OSI technology
Nope. You got to linger on OSI. Okay. You rushed OSI. There was a hint of a linger. Stretch your hands. Remember, when you first start pulling, don't just put your hands from my fingers right together to, here's a big hug for the world. You've got to put some tension, some pulling. You can't quite get your fingers apart. OSI technology. And I made it obvious with my voice. OSI technology. Go again.
Okay. For nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront of electric utility.
Perfect. Perfect. Who wants to go next? Jade? Doesn't matter. Whoever wants to go next.
Okay, I'm ready. Sorry.
Give it a shot.
For nearly two decades, OSI technologies has been in the forefront of electric utility.
Yeah, great. Perfect. By the way, when I do a hit, I tend to raise my eyebrows or lift my finger up a little bit. I do what's called a kinetic trigger. That just means you move to remind you. It's a kind of body language. You know, it's the cliche, right, of an announcer is they poke your finger, their finger in your chest. You, sir, need to buy the new, right? That's a kinetic trigger, a body language thing that you do. When we stretch to linger, that's a kinetic trigger. In fact, it's not so much a trigger as we're just following that stretch feeling. Dave, give it a shot whenever you're ready. Same words, same idea. Oh, no hurry.
Yeah, so I was just writing that down. Sorry.
Not a problem.
I'm not sorry. You're lucky. You're lucky I made you wait. That's my attitude.
An idiot like me.
Yeah, precisely.
Go again.
Okay. For nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront of electric utility operation.
Pretty good. You rushed OSI. You did generate a linger there. You need to linger more. It feels a little weird, and that's one of the reasons I have it as homework. Go again.
For nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront of electric.
Show me too slow. Try to do it as slow as you think could possibly be done and not sound like a fool or somebody who doesn't speak. So I want it a lot slower, but not like OSI.
Okay.
Go again.
Okay. For nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront of electric utility operations.
Right, and we're just ending on forefront.
Was that too much?
No, that wasn't enough.
Oh, sorry.
That was just about right. That's just about how you should do that, but I want you to go too slow. So I'll give you an example. Here's just about right, and then I'll go too slow. For nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront. Now I'm going to go too slow. For nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront. So more like
all right.
that.
More all right. Time. For nearly two decades, OSI technology has been in the forefront.
Yeah, now you kind of came out of it with OSI. You kind of punched the I. So one of the things about practicing the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it helps you be smooth, even when the words, the end, last syllable of a word can be a little not perfect for you. You get used to it. That's all. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about how to look good in a professional session, whether they're directing you remotely from home or whether you show up in person. The future, starting about 2 years ago when the agency system kind of got broken apart and agents started having a lot less auditions, moved online, and that's still the case. Agencies have not really picked up the slack enough. A lot of great stuff is now online instead of going through agencies. But we're going to talk a little bit about if you're being directed remotely, if you're going to a session, what procedure do you follow to look good? One of them is you show up early. To show up early, do a warm-up. Make sure that you've got time before you need to be there to warm up. If it's in person, it's in your car. If you're waiting for a time, you're going to get online at 2:00, they're going to start directing you. Join the session or let them know that you're there 10 minutes before. We say 10 minutes before. If you're too early in person, they have to find something to do with you. And if you're late, one of the things you might not realize is the so-called important people, the CEO of the business, the people with the money, the people who paid the ad agency, they sometimes don't want to show up or join until the talent has shown up. So they're waiting for somebody to tell them, and in the old days it would be a pager, that the talent has arrived. And then they're going to make their way through the skyways in downtown Minneapolis or on the road or whatever to join the session. So you showing up, in some cases, is a trigger for other people to get ready. So it's not just that it's good form. It lets people know that you're a professional to show up early. Sometimes it's fairly necessary. So we suggest 10 minutes. It's not too early. It's not too late. If you're driving, try to get there a half hour early if that works. And that way, if you're a little late, you still have time for your warm-up. Also true if you're going to be coached in person, if you're going to your agents to do an audition. Okay, what kind of people do this? What are they used to seeing in the studio? How should you feel and behave? You know, in other words, what happened before you got there? Were you working out on your bike? Have you not slept in 12 hours? You know, what is the personality of a professional talent like? Well, of course, it varies a ton. But one of the things that they're used to is what I say, you just came from doing improv with kids. They're used to you being a little looser and a little more creative than everybody else in the room. You're kind of the creative source. They're looking for a little bit more fun, a little bit more ready to try anything out of you. When I first coached Katie McCullough, she had already landed the gig to be the branded voice of State Farm. And I believe, actually, by the time I coached her, she'd already bought a house for her husband and her two kids and herself with cash solely from her State Farm earnings. So you can make a lot of money if you get those big gigs, but there's very few. And because I don't want to be misleading, I usually just say, that will never happen to any of us. That's not true. It's always possible, but I don't want you to think I'm saying, you know, you're going to make $150,000 in 6 months. It's possible, but obviously unlikely. I'll talk a little bit about how that can become more likely. She told me that she always did improv with her kids. She said, we never use our real voices. It annoys everybody, but that's how we are. She actually was a person like that. So your warm-up, part of what you want to do is be loose. What I say to do for a warm-up is either to go big and small, to be loud and soft, or to take a double script and do both parts and do one as a wacky gibberish voice and one as a normal voice. What you do in your warm-up is you open your range. You have to have the ability to be louder and softer and not get stuck in the middle. Where we all get stuck is in this middle where they give us more and more directions and we start to get a little louder and we start to sound annoying. So it kind of goes like this. If I had some open range, I might go, Open Systems International is a leading supplier of automation and control system software. You hear I got a little loud, I got a little soft, I went up and down. Not necessarily a great performance, but a demonstration of range. After they give you a lot of directions, you're going to start to sound like this. Open Systems International is a leading supplier of automation and control. You hear how annoying that is? And that's because every time you get a direction, you have to do something and you get a little more tense and you start to push that tension into your volume. And not only do you get a little louder, but you get flatter. If I were to just to drop out and put some lower energy here and there, it would improve it tremendously. So I'll show you the annoying version. And then I'm going to show you me opening up my range down to a lower energy range and what that might be like. So here's bad, followed by maybe a little bit better. Open Systems International is a leading supplier of automation and control system software. Now I'm just going to drop down to a lower energy at some places. Open Systems International, OSI, is a leading supplier of automation and control system. So that's not that great, but if I make it sound a little more normal, Open Systems International, OSI, is a leading supplier of automation. You're hearing it starting to sound a little more natural. And of course, I should say, or OSI. So you have to be able primarily to let go of whatever you're doing in your speech and your feelings and your emotion and your body language and do something else. That's the key thing you want to be able to do in a warm-up. So here's an exercise for that. I want you all to do this with me a little bit. We're all going to be shouting a little bit at the same time. I don't care if I can hear you or not. I'm going to say no fairly loud because I'm on a microphone. I won't really shout. And then I'm going to say it more intimately, and I'm just going to keep doing it, big, small, big, small, big, small. But I'm going to do it playfully, and I want to have just as strong an emotion, just as much intensity of feeling at big and small. So I'm going to say, come on, do it with me, but first you can listen to me do it. No, 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 no. Come on, everybody do it. No, big, small. No, big, small. No, 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 and oh. That's a great warm-up. If you have trouble having fun, you just feel yourself going, no, 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 you need to warm up some more. You need to pick a double script that's some fun, some charactery, play around, loosen up. I like to start with that when I warm up to kind of test where I'm at, and then finish with it to see how well I've done. If I were to do OSI in two voices, a gibberish voice and a normal voice, it might go something like this. Is a leading supplier of for various electric utilities, marketed to other utilities and water industries. One of our cats decided that I was having a stroke and just jumped up to comfort me. That's your goal. If you want anybody who's looking in your window, and we've had this happen with students, come over and knock on your window to check if you're okay. What I did there was I used a bendy voice, and I used a voice without any bendiness. Bendy is where your voice qualities change because of emotion. You should be able to do that, right? So if I said, oh, God, it was so annoying, you hear me bending my voice, right? Now I'll try to sound annoyed without any bending. Oh, it was so annoying. It's hard to pull off. Your voice quality has to change when emotions change. So part of loosening up is to be able to have a real matter-of-fact, we say off-the-cuff voice, have a bendy, more charactery, more, oh, emotional, geez, how did you, oh, come on, don't, you know, kind of quality, and be able to go from big to small. So that is your warm-up practice. You only need to do that for a few minutes. That's something you do for the actor. And over time, you can figure out what works better or worse for you. Sometimes, some of you who are good at getting loose will find that what you really need to do is help prepare yourself for how you do transitions, the second step, right? The character, the analyzing of the script in the acting process, where step one is the actor warm-up, step two is looking at the script, determining the character and the transitions, and step three is having somebody be there that's real when you talk. Sometimes getting ready to do your transitions well is a good way to do the warm-up. So there's a key vocal technique here, which I kind of described for you already, which is to have some emotion, bend your voice, and then let it go and be natural. So I'll just do that on leading supplier. I'm just going to say there's a transition between leading supplier and of automation. Leading supplier of automation. You hear how I went emotional and bendy, and then I went very normal. Leading supplier of automation. Leading supplier of automation. You hear how I'm being kind of matter-of-fact or relaxed? I want you all to try that. I'm not giving you words that are easy to do this on because I want this to be more of an exercise. So I want you to have an attitude on leading supplier. Don't shout, but you can be louder. Bend your voice. And then say of automation naturally. Practice that a little bit, and we're each going to demonstrate it. So give that a try. You could even say the words backwards. This is just a vocal exercise. Have some fun, have some attitude, and let go.
And which part of the script?
Just the words leading supplier and then the words of automation. Just those four words.
Okay.
I could make you say 1, 2, 3, 4. I just want a before and an after. So who'd like to demonstrate that first? I know, Jade, you were just catching up with which words. So Dave or John, you want to demonstrate?
Sure. Leading supplier of automation.
Try to make leading and supplier blend together a little bit. You isolated all the syllables in order to get your voice bendy. You went leading supplier a little bit like that. And try to make it leading supplier so we can't hear each syllable kind of isolated. Go again.
Leading supplier of automation.
Pretty nice. Now I want you to kind of literally shrug, and I want a shruggy sound. So I want you to say, of automation, three times, each time with a shrug. I'll do two to demonstrate. Of automation. Of automation. I'm literally shrugging. Do that three times. Shrug each time. Shoulders come up each time. Just those two words, of automation.
Of automation. Of automation. Of automation.
I want you to now do a read and go, hey, of automation.
Hey, of automation.
Nice. Now go, leading supplier. Hey, of automation.
Leading supplier. Hey, of automation.
Nice. That's a really, really good transition. That's a great warm-up for you. Who wants to go next?
I can jump in.
All right,
oh, John. If you go, why don't you go for it?
Go ahead, Jade.
Leading supplier of automation.
So you're bending your voice, but I'm not really catching some emotion. So do you want to be angry, frustrated, or happy? Which would you choose?
Happy. I don't care.
Happy? Okay. Happy's hard. So go for it. Smile and hug the world and then let it go. So smile happy on leading supplier, then of automation.
Leading supplier of automation.
So you're going closer to a love kind of sound than a happy kind of sound. It sounds more like you're having wine with a loved one than you're excited at a concert. And happy is more excited at a concert. It's like more cool than it is, gosh. So I want you to say something. Happy is a little tougher. So go, yeah, wow, cool, something like that. And then say, leading supplier. Okay, so say a word like, yeah, wow, cool, or your choice. And then say, leading supplier with that upbeat happy. And then let go of it and say, of automation.
Hey, leading supplier of automation.
Yeah, nicely done. Nicely done. It's a good warm up. You have to be able to do that. And you also have to be able to do it and not overstretch or overclump the words. You can't go, leading supplier of automation. That's cheating. John, give it a shot.
Leading supplier of automation.
You continued the lingering on the O and of. You let go, but it needs to be a sharp drop. You almost pulled it off. Okay. But leading supplier of automation. I'm exaggerating. So you've got to let go completely.
Leading supplier of automation.
Yeah. And you did a glottal thing. You glottally stopped your air on supplier. You know, I'm exaggerating, so that you made a hard drop between them. That's acceptable. In speech, I would have to, let's find a real transition here. In the second paragraph, and control across the globe, period, it's solutions. I'm just going to say that it's a really big deal that electric utility operation, you know, has to have been under control. So I'm going to pretend like my subtext for the first sentence is it's important that we all get this right. And I'm going to pretend like my subtext for the second sentence is, oh, thank goodness. So I'm going to go in the forefront of electric utility operation and control across the globe. Its solutions help empower utility customers. You hear I got that relief and that thank goodness in my transition there? So, across the globe, its solutions. You hear me making that switch to kind of a happy relief from kind of a serious dry? Across the globe, its solutions. I'll do it a little more lightweight. Across the globe, its solutions. I'll do it a little more all happy. Control across the globe, its solutions. I'll do it very warm. Control across the globe. It's solutions. But you hear me, I'm making a transition. None of those are demonstrated to say this is good acting. This is the kind of transition you should do. I'm just demonstrating, hey, there's a transition. I've got to be able to pull it off. When you aren't pulling it off, when you're having a problem, almost always what's happening is something from the before is lingering into the after. So if I was going fast, I'm going to have to slow down. Electric utility operation and control across the globe. Its solutions help empower. If I went electric utility operation and control across the globe, its solutions empower. You hear how my pitch went up, but I didn't slow down. So that ability to let go is the key acting ability to produce the vocal technique of, hey, your voice changed. Makes sense? That's what you do in warm-up. Practice transitions. Practice opening up your range. Have an energetic, bendy voice and a calm, off-the-cuff voice. I'll give you an example from a demo that we just did. The hair needed a little change, nothing crazy. That was the text with one of our female talent, and she kind of did it like this. The hair needed a little change, nothing crazy, right? You hear how that? There's a lot of opportunities to do that kind of drop to matter-of-fact or off-the-cuff. If you don't have that off the cuff, I'm just a person talking, you know, no big deal. Here's the thing. Oh, you know, we do want to get that right. This is matter of fact, but it's important. You hear how there's a lot of ways of just telling the truth, saying what you're saying, but not making a huge deal about it. We call that off the cuff. That's the hardest part of your range to hold on to in a long session because you get tense and you try to calm and relax and So I'm going to give you a couple of quick mental resets. One of them is to take a sip of water. But here's the trick. If you're tense, you'll stretch, you'll move one foot, you'll leave one foot in place at the mic, you'll step with one foot, and you'll reach, right? You know how when we're nervous, we kind of reach for things and we're not even thinking about it. We might take three shuffle steps over, three shuffle steps back. When I demonstrate this live, I shuffle to get something and I shuffle back and I ask people how many steps did I take, and I always take 13 steps, and people usually guess between 4 and 7. When you're relaxed, you're not thinking about your feet, right? You just kind of shuffle around, you pick stuff up, you shuffle around. So when you want to relax, I say remember to move both feet. Don't leave one foot planted. You're telling yourself, it's a trick to tell yourself, I'm relaxed. I'm not just going to reach over and pick up something. So move your feet out of their position. Don't keep your feet planted. I've even seen people trying to relax by like bouncing in place, like they're running in place. And you can tell they're trying to stay planted. They're trying to not move away. If you run in place, bounce to the left, bounce to the right. So move your feet. Tell your brain you're not actually strapped to the floor. Here's another more advanced one. I'll shoot you an exercise for this. Is to imagine something. You don't have to picture it. Some of us picture things well, some of us don't. But to imagine something and then take notes on what's happening when you imagine. I've got a list of things. For example, do you see something? Are colors present? Are things moving? Is there sound? Is there a foreground and a background? Do you notice the space? Do you smell? Do you touch? Is there a sensation? Is there heat? Is there warmth? Is there cool? Is there breeze? So these are some things you can check. When you imagine something, what does the machine of imagination for you actually do? An example for me is I tend to be more wired for visual motion. So I'll just stop a moment here and I'm going to imagine the sound of birds. And I'm imagining the sound of birds, and I wouldn't say I'm very auditory. I can kind of hear them. I can imagine that they're there, but it's blank. Nothing's really happening. Now I'm going to imagine tree leaves moving in a gentle breeze. And now I can see everything. I can see there's water. I can hear the birds. So for me, using visual motion helps make the whole scene more real. So two techniques here, once you've done the exercise that we'll send you, is if you're getting a little stressed, go to the modality, such as visual motion, or color or light, that you like. If you like noticing light, if that's how you're wired naturally, concentrate on the light in the room. What that'll do is it'll distract your brain. Your brain's like, oh, I love light. And you'll start to focus on the light. And you'll actually tend to take a relaxing breath and not even notice it. If you're trying to make a scene that you're imagining more real, make sure that the thing that works for you is made more real. If I was in a coffee shop, I might imagine that there's a ceiling fan overhead. So I can imagine the visual motion of the ceiling fan or people coming in and going out. Again, there's an exercise we'll send you on that. So those are two kinds of mental resets that you can do to help yourself with the foundation of acting, which is to identify and release tension. Any
Dave,
questions about that? Please jump.
Yeah, I do actually have a question with regards to, you know, kind of side shuffling or, you know, bouncing in place or whatever to get moving. Is then the concern, though, that you have now sort of disrupted the placement of the mic in relation to your head?
Well, don't hit it with your head.
But well, obviously
I know. I know what you
mean. I figured you knew something about my past.
Yeah. The thing is, acting comes first. Every problem has to be solved from an acting perspective. Anything that you do, you have to bring in something relating to acting to solve it. Otherwise, you're going to become a worse and worse actor, and you're not going to notice. So, yes, you have to get off mic. You're going to have to get reasonable at getting back into approximately the same spot. A couple things to know. If you have a mic that's extremely proximity sensitive, like an AKG, that's going to be a bigger deal because the quality, the sound, this type of voice you seem to have is going to change if you're 2 inches away versus 8 inches away. If you're between 4 and 5 inches away, no big deal. So for those mics, you're going to tend to have to get close and stay close. So it's not a really big deal. Just get close again and stay close. for mics that are less proximity sensitive, like the MXL mics. A little bit of compression in the post-production. Basically, you run effect. You just click the word effect in the menu in your software, and then you scroll down to where it says compression, and you click that, and you click OK. What that's going to do, it's going to make the bits of movement of you moving around on mic while you speak or coming in at a different position, it's going to make that less noticeable. Compression does a very good job of that. We have a macro, meaning a thing that will run a bunch of steps for you automatically that takes care of that from a home studio. So we're going to make sure you all have that macro. So generally speaking, try to get to about where you were again, and then let the compression take care of it. Does that help?
Yes, it does. I was mostly thinking in terms of if you're in a studio setting and you are unable to get, you know, approximately where you needed to be, it's acceptable if the audio engineer has to come back in and reset the mic a little bit.
Well, if you're right, if you're getting so dehydrated that you're shrinking and you have to look up at the mic, no. It's unlikely that you're going to... what will tend to happen is you'll start on the mic and you'll be a little tense when they set it. You probably should bend a little bit and loosen a little bit when they set the mic, because when you start moving, you're going to bend a little bit. If you just stand there like a board, you're not going to read like that. So drop it down a touch, loosen up, you know, feel your ankles, your knees, your hips, loosen a little bit, sink an inch when they set the mic. And then when you start moving, you're going to be sinking a little bit because you're bending. However, what is common is you're going to get more tense and you're going to start to stand there like a board and you're going to stand higher, and they're not going to reset for that. They're going to tell you, hey, loosen up, get a drink of water. You know, we got a problem over here in the studio, and just give us a minute. And they may be lying. They just want you to loosen up. So they're going to invent a problem so you can go and have some water and loosen up.
Got it.
All right. So I'm over answering and talking about related things, but does that help?
It does. Yep.
Anybody else, question or comment about anything that we've talked about so far? I'm going to summarize here, and then we'll have a little bit of time for questions. So the backbone is the acting process. You loosen up, you find transitions, and you concentrate on being a real person. A lot of that on mic is loose body language. If you warmed up well, if you feel your voice is open, and you can use your body language comfortably, you're going to sound more like a real person and less like a tense announcer, or less like you're stressing your voice to try to use vocal technique, and more like a real person who warmed everything up, so you don't have to stress or use tension to bring range into your voice. You're loose, so it's already there. Practice those lingers. Da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's just a vocal exercise, but you should never, ever read a script for the rest of your life where you don't just feel it and automatically put your hands together and do that pull or whatever it is. And I really like the hand, the taffy technique. Always going to slow down on brand names. You could decide that other words need to be slowed down on too. That's fine. Do make time before you practice to warm up. Do practice transitions in your warm up. So find scripts, find transitions, and write them down and bring them in as part of your warm up. The acting process is the place you go to control the performance, to solve problems, and to get better. Which step of the process do you need more work on for different kinds of situations? I know a guy that does voiceover, geez, probably 8-9 hours a day. He's kind of crazy. It's not all high-paying voiceover. And he likes to, and this is his day job, he does it from home, he likes to arrange the voiceover so that he has mostly narratives in the morning. Because for him, just talking for 5 hours is his warm-up. So he can do commercials. He can just feel, he talks for 5 hours, he's warm. So you don't have to warm up for 5 hours, but really give it 10 minutes and practice on those transitions. Another thing that will help you help us is when you find transitions that are a little weird for you, or they're a little off, or you're not sure what to do, or you think you know what to do, but you can't pull it off. Bring those up. Bring those up as questions, and we can help you troubleshoot what is it about how you're approaching it that can be shifted to make it easier, to make it more yourself. In advanced training, I concentrate tremendously on transitions because the script is full of transitions. It's full of lists, not just the punctuation. They're all over the place. And you have to get that sense of doing something and letting go, doing something and letting go, doing something and letting go. It helps you stay loose as an actor to look at it that way. And it helps you have more loose, ready to go on whatever the next part of the script is asking for from you. All right. Questions in general. Questions on things related to this. The next workshop is more about a business and career and stuff happening in the world and home studio stuff. Any questions of any kind? And if we're going to talk about it later, I'll give you a short answer and say we'll talk about it later. Anything at all?
I'm sorry. What did you say under the acting process? The acting process is what?
Warm up, look at the script, talk to another person. Those are the three steps. And we say you're going through the actor, the character, and the listener in doing those three steps. You're concentrating on yourself, the actor, then you're concentrating on the character and the transitions, and then you're concentrating on the listener and being a real person, you know, with another real person. So some people like to say actor, character, listener. Some people like to say warm up, script analysis, and scene partner. But you get the idea. Does that help? Am I answering your actual question? Am I understanding?
Yes, I'm just not okay. the fastest writer. Good. So you've got warm up, script, and I'm sorry, what was the third one?
Talk to a person.
Okay.
Some people will call that, you know, be conversational. If you find yourself having to loosen up when you're on mic, you probably didn't get your warm up done right, or you need to do more things in your life to practice how can you warm up and get looser. And we often say take an improv class. Next question from anyone, any topic. Why am I such an idiot? That would be a good one because I love being called an idiot. Janae, go ahead.
When will you guys start improv classes there? I know you mentioned it during the, expo.
Yeah, at the moment, both city, county, and federal levels are all talking about keeping people out of groups. So we're probably going to have to wait till the moisture content in the air goes up and we have clear basis, you know, for the government to go, okay, the spread of, you know, the coronavirus has been slowed for them to allow groups to come together. So we're going to be ready for that, but I don't know when that will be. And I apologize for having that very lame answer. Am I answering your actual question there? Or did I misunderstand it? Was it a related question or did I kind of?
Yeah, I understand.
Because sometimes, I swear to God, I misunderstand. I think you said one thing and you said something else. So I always like to check. Huge Theater is a place in town that's great for that as well when they're back moving. They currently, I believe it says on their marquee, I guess something else is contagious besides laughter. I think that's what they have on their marquee right now. Any other questions, related or unrelated, about anything? I mean, we're here. Questions are good.
Do you know of a book or anything that on acting that you recommend?
I recommend being as analytical as you can about your acting process, trying things, seeing what happens, asking questions, trying things. I'll give you an example. Chicken Soup for the Soul, there's a million editions of it. I mean, there's probably 300 different editions. Something that I recommend. Plus, you can almost buy them used for a couple bucks. Because if you read them as an actor, you always know the subtext. Meaning you can always tell when it's happy. You can always tell when it's sad. You can always tell what's going on. So it's very easy to get the subtext, to get the acting out. And they're almost always written as first person. In other words, it's you telling your story. So for some kinds of acting process, having scripts that make the subtext, what's going on, how are we supposed to feel about this, obvious, is very helpful. You can practice your acting rather than practicing some kind of obscure script analysis, which may or may not ever help you. Like studying Shakespeare might be fun and interesting, and studying linguistics, et cetera, you might get some value from that, but it's not going to translate as directly into this. If you want to practice acting, I would say, first of all, practice your warm-up. Look at a Chicken Soup for the Soul story. Look for transitions. Do those transitions first. Try them out on your own. Then try reading the whole story. Then try recording it and doing any pickups. Right there, you're overlapping voiceover production warm-up and acting process. And then what you find, we can help you say, here's where you need to put your attention. Stay away from this kind of acting process because that's too introspective for you. Or stay away from this kind of acting process. So we have some articles about acting that are based on some of the different acting methodologies where we've pulled out some of the highlights from the different ways of teaching acting and talked about what's relevant about them for voiceover. We have some of them in Wild Lines, and we have some of them on the website. So I'm trying to give you some general guidance in the direction, but I wouldn't suggest taking a Meisner class or taking a method class or taking a late Stanislavski class, which would be Chekhov. They're just not relevant enough for voiceover. One of the reasons for that, by the way, is that there's not going to be anybody in front of you when you perform voiceover. And a lot of acting methodologies rely very heavily on there being somebody right there in front of you. Does that help? Or does it lead to another question, Dave?
Yeah, it's just I'm always impressed when I see different people do things that convey things. What I'm watching 30 Rock, and I think Alec Guinness does an excellent job with little motions and little faces and things like this. They're not characters. They convey things beautifully.
Go to Wild Lines, if I might interrupt. Go to Wild Lines and search for Meisner. And if you're not sure how to spell it, you can just Google it. Just say Meisner acting. And search for posts about Meisner. We've got one where they put a play on that's based on a bunch of actors being in a class. So actors in a Meisner class pretend to be in a Meisner class on stage. If you want to get an idea of how a lot of acting focuses on real loose. For example, screaming obscenities, slamming doors, rolling around on the floor crying. These are things that are parts of some acting methodologies. The point being, you have to be so much looser than you need to be authentic. The more intimate and the more extreme that you are comfortable shifting between, the more you will naturally bring special details and little hints and very loose real person notes to your acting. Open your range. Warm up is key, is what I would say to how these people bring about these magical little things. Jim Carrey makes fun of Matthew McConaughey in the Lincoln ads. Who has watched the Jim Carrey parody of the Matthew McConaughey Lincoln ads? Matthew McConaughey, at one point, he holds his fingers together near his face, and he just kind of rubs his fingers together because he's thinking deeply. He's looking off into the distance. He's very in his head, and he's not paying attention to his body language. Jim Carrey makes fun of that by pretending that he just picked his nose and he's rolling a booger around in his fingers, you know. So he's making fun of how loose McConaughey became in order to have this body language that he's not even aware of. So the warm-up has a lot to do with the ability to bring some real magic human moments to things. More questions, any kind at all. I'll give you a note relating to silence because we just had silence. Before you speak on mic, you should be able to be comfortable being silent. There's an old rule in sales, right? You say the price and then whoever talks first loses because salespeople are nervous about saying the price and asking somebody to buy and feeling like they're being pressured and stuff like that. So when you try to teach somebody new to not be a manipulative salesperson, but to relax, tell them after you've said the price, the first person to talk loses. When you're about to do a script, if you're relaxed, if you have some body language, some focus, something that you want to do, maybe there's a read-in, there's a few words, there's some sounds coming out of you, you should also be comfortable stopping and starting that moment before. Maybe you're doing nothing. You're just getting ready. You're thinking of something. I should be able to say stop and do that again. And what is that? It's that moment before. You shouldn't feel compulsion to start speaking that script. And when you work from home, it's a good idea to say something at every period, to take a moment between every sentence and go, hey, so here's the deal. I've been thinking, because you have to learn not to feel tense about having to get to those next words. So being comfortable with silence particularly if somebody's looking at you, if everybody's looking at you, right, it feels a little weird, is an acting technique. It's something that they teach in acting classes. Two people look at each other, and then they repeat a word over and over again, and you got to get comfortable with that. Any more questions? And we'll wrap up, and we'll be getting you guys some stuff to study. We doing good?
Do you produce commercials and things there?
We produce commercials in the sense that we make fake commercials for demos. We don't have a studio. Ad agencies don't hire us to do that.
No.
Am I answering the correct question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, you all seem to have a solid understanding of, you know, all the different aspects of it. I just wondered if you...
I was the editor
of my... If there's any money in that.
There is. You should have some production skills. You should be able to add music to audio. You should be able to be hired to help people edit their audiobooks. If you want to do that, it's always helpful to get more of a piece of the production pie.
I'm sorry. Not for me. I'll be lucky if I can walk in without falling down. I just wondered about for you, you folks.
No, you literally meant for me. No, I don't want to do that. I was the editor of my high school newspaper. I was the editor of my college newspaper. I was a technical writer for the United Nations and for some other companies. I've been writing my whole life. I'm very interested in writing, so I understand a lot about how commercials are written and how the emotions connect to it. I'm actually working with an emotions researcher out in California about that. But at the present time, I do not want to be hired by baby food companies to sell their product in any way, shape, or form. More questions of any kind.
How would you pick up some editing skill?
So we're going to send you, and we're going to kind of provide initially a little bit of unlimited tech support to try to make sure you get comfortable with your home studio. The first thing is just to put Audacity on a laptop or home computer and just start recording yourself through a headset or a microphone or what have you. Just learn to be able to press record, you know, and make sure you have the mic and everything turned on. And then to start doing pickups, to start recording yourself, make a mistake, and then you click on the screen a little bit before you where you made the mistake. And then the computer will play you talking out loud and you'll just talk along with yourself. And then when it comes to the mistake, it will stop, you know, reading what you read out loud and you just keep reading. So it's a way of fixing mistakes yourself from home. Those are the first two steps. And we've got some articles on that online, but we're going to get you some videos as well as point you to the articles and make sure that everybody gets up to a skill level that they're comfortable with. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you.
Sure, and some of this would be later in Essentials, but a lot of this we're adding on to make sure that everybody gets to you know, a good level so they can take care of themselves. And somebody says, can you do this? You can feel comfortable and say yes. Cool?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Any questions of any kind, as long as we're talking?
Completely random question. Are you familiar with the ad agency Hunt Adkins?
Hunt Adkins, I don't think I am.
Okay.
They're big, though.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. My brother-in-law actually is one of the principals there, so just kind of curious if you folks had dealt with them at all.
Do you like your brother-in-law?
And as much as I see him, yeah, I mean, we get along fine. I can't care for his wife much, but...
Don't tell him that.
I think it's an established thing, so...
Well, tell them it's gently changing in the right direction. I'm kidding, of course, but because I'm kidding around. What you would want him to do for you with that kind of relationship networking-wise was to tell you before he tells anybody else, and the likelihood of this is slim, but still, this is sometimes how things happen, that they have picked up a new client that dropped their old ad agency. Hmm. It'll hit the ad agency, you know, press in general. That's a lot of what they cover. But if you can find out before anybody else finds out, it's possible you can audition to be the new voice of Arby's or State Farm or whatever before anybody else even knows that there's an audition coming up for that. And that's how Katie McCullough got to be the branded voice of State Farm. One of her old schoolmates was at the agency that landed the State Farm account and told her almost before anybody else knew. And she was one of the first people to audition for that.
Cool.
And also, she had never done any voiceover or had any voice training. She was an actor, and she was an on-camera print actor as well. And that's one of the reasons that after she did that gig, she came to us for training. Her agent said, she took essentials, by the way, sent her to take the same course you're taking now, because they wouldn't drop her from that gig, but nobody else would give her a gig because she didn't know how to do voiceover. Of course, as you're learning, there's more to it than just standing up and talking.
Cool.
Yeah, the first one of my first results was, you know, top 25 for Hunt Adkins, and I'm going to read about them. Who's your brother-in-law?
Doug Adkins.
Ha-ha.
Yeah, like I said, principal.
Oh, man, you just tell him how impressed everybody is, how fantastic you're doing in this voiceover course. I'll back you up on that. So when they get an account.
I did actually chat with him a little bit about it and had mentioned that I was kind of jumping into this. He went, oh, cool. Remember, I asked him, you know, could I pick your brain about it sometime? He says, absolutely. So
yeah, so of course, you don't praise yourself. You pull a Donald Trump. Everybody's amazed at how good I'm right. at this and how I know so much and what a natural I am. You know, that's how you network, right? Everybody says it. It's just, I can't believe you haven't been doing this for years. obviously I'm having fun with that to make it a joke, but don't be afraid to play a little bit of that card intentionally with people. Really love the teacher. And, you know, and she says, I'm really doing a good job, and I had no idea. You know, you've got to help people be left with a feeling that, you know, let's follow up with this guy. I know it's sales, but don't be afraid to toot your own horn a little bit. And by the way, one of the things that finally arrived today of our multi-$1,000 spendings, we got a crate of microphones here, just arrived.
Cool.
Yay.
Yep. They got your name on them. Anything else? We got to wrap.
How will we be able to get our equipment? Would that be after?
Well, you can either pick it up or we'll ship it to you. And then we're going to help you get it all set. So we know how to help people do this, but we're not totally prepared to say we're completely committed, you know. So we're working out to make sure that, you know, we get the right combination of videos and phone time. And so we'll either send it to you or have you pick it up. Cool. And then we're going to help you make sure that it's, you know, set the way that you need it so you can use it. Dave.
Well, just to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
What when I saw that, I thought, why are they why are you buying equipment for people? And I'm not, my tone may sound
the short answer is so everybody has a home studio.
Okay.
And so
is this first, it's very nice of you to do that.
I know. I'm putting you in the position to ask me a follow-up question, so go ahead. I'm just trying to get you to the follow-up question.
What the hell is your problem, man? How are you? Are you an idiot giving away things? So, and I just, you know, because it seems like it must be a fairly significant cost on your part. And I'm just wondering, is it...
Sure, let me address that. So... A related question might be, why do we do the expo at our cost, or the voice acting expo, or more realistically, why have we lost money on it every year? We try to do it at our cost. Our goal has always been to be the best provider of voiceover training in the universe for English. So presumably they only speak English on Earth, so we're not competing with other planets. And to do that, we need to work with a lot of people. And we need to do absolutely everything we can for everybody we run into. Sometimes that costs money, and sometimes we figured out ways to do it at lower costs. When it has amounted to costing us money, we've just always spent that money. An example has been for Essentials, the class that you're in had the exact same cost as it used to at the time when it was 4 sessions, no homework, and no workshops. We have added 2 kinds of homework, and we've added... 2 workshops plus a follow-up call and a 5th session in person. And we've done all of that without raising the price. So we want to be really good at this. And at this point, we are really good at it. And so we're in the habit of when we should spend money, we spend money. So I don't know if that helps.
And I hope I don't sound negative. I think, you know, it's a good thing to do. It seems like a good thing and helpful for people. So
I think the have to may be the thing that we're overlooking here. Why do we feel like we have to? Online, we started actually buying computers about a year and a half ago so people some of our students could practice engineering after essentials at our location. So you notice we have computers on rolling carts, didn't used to have that. And that was because online work became more important. And then we started putting together videos and training. Online work got a lot more important with people not being able to go into work as much. So we're going to make the assumption that online work, you know, is a significant percentage more important, not just right now, but on into the future. So we have to make a significant commitment to make sure that, you know, that what we're leaving you with is going to leave you in good position both now and in the future. So we just looked at this and we're like, we got to do it. You know, so when we say that, we bite the bullet and we do it. Is that helping?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've taken some classes years ago, and this is, you or folks are, it's very impressive all the way around. So,
well, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Or what you could have said, you're obsessive idiots.
Oh, that's,
you're over obsessing on our behalf.
Oh, I don't think you can't over obsess.
Well, we got to wrap up. I'm one more question if anybody wants. So look for more emails from us, and we're going to work out getting the equipment to you or the credits.
I don't have a question. I have more of like a statement.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I'm like so excited and appreciative that you two have done this for us, especially with me and being laid off and I couldn't figure out how I was going to get this stuff on my own. And then I got the message that you guys was going to provide that for us. And I just wanted to say thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
For that.
Yeah. No problem. And it's valuable stuff. You can sell it to buy cat food. There may come a day that I wish I had sold it to buy cat food. We'll see.
Can I ask you what, there's a microphone, are those the 2006s?
I think we've got some sixes and eights. They're the same. So we're just getting whatever's low price. And some of that involves shipping. And
okay. So so we've got the mic, stand or an arm, one or the other, the cable, the transition box.
Yep.
And all right, is that the basic basically what a person needs?
Yeah, we're trying to figure this out going forwards too. So we're going to try to kind of come up with some kind of a credit system, meaning you have this many credits for things, you can spend it however you want. Like if you have a home studio, you don't want to spend, you know, your credit on another microphone. If you want another microphone, you can do it that way. But yeah, you covered it. So we're not going to buy the most expensive of everything. So if you want to buy something a little different, you know, you're like, well, I've already got a $2,000 microphone. You know, I don't need a $100 credit, a $100 microphone. Just give me a $100 credit. So we're trying to make that more straightforward. So you can kind of look at it as I have this much credit. I can put some of it towards this stuff. Maybe you have a brother-in-law that already has an XLR cable and a stand or, you know. But yeah, you covered it.
Okay.
Yep, you got to connect the microphone to your computer, so you got to have a stand, you got to have a cable, you got to have a box.
Yeah.